Longtime columnist back in the day for the Seattle PI. Yes, we used to have another paper in town for those who do not know. It was called the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. It was delivered to your house in the morning, and then the Times, which is the paper now, was delivered to you in the afternoon. Now,
what I
like to always remind him, as I've gotten to know him over the years, you know, a lot of years, is that, man, I used to read you all the time growing up, especially in high school.
That's cold-blooded.
And he joins it's the go-to guy. Ladies and gentlemen, he's back on the KJR airwaves where he was for a very long time before he left us for the dark side. It's the go-to guy, Jim Moore. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Hey, Puck, thanks, man, for having me. Slick Hawk, appreciate it. How are you guys?
We're doing great. How are you doing? How's quote, vacation going on?
Well, it's been interesting. Yeah, that's the best word for it. Yeah, I got laid off back in November, and I've just been kind of hanging out, going on walks with my dogs, looking for work, and they're fighting with each other right now as we speak. But no, I'm doing okay. I'm holding up all right. I mean, last night, Topak, I mean, that was tough. You know, you call me a degenerate gambler, and you're right about that. People always give me a hard time. Like, why do you always bet on the Cougs? I go, well, they're my team. I'm going to bet on the Cougs. And so I had the misfortune last night, though. Talking to a friend of mine, we were texting back and forth, and I knew he's a big Bear Down guy, big Arizona guy. And so I go, you know, hey, are you nervous? You nervous about tonight's game? And he goes, well, yeah, I am nervous. It's not one of our better Arizona teams. And, you know, WSU, we got it up. And, you know, our team is pretty good this year. And I love Kyle Smith and what's going on. But I popped off. And, you know, he wanted to bet $50. And then I said, okay. And then he wanted to double it. And I thought,
why not?
Well, I've gone this far. All right.
Might as well go the whole way.
He called me a wuss and everything. I was like,
I'll just
go 50. But, yeah, so I won 100. And just before we got on the air here, I Venmo'd the money to him. And, you know, another losing bet on the Cougs, man. I'll never learn.
See, that's why I don't bet. See, it's too much stress. I don't bet on them because I can't take it.
Yeah, and I knew better last night, too. I heard you talking about it. We never play well at Arizona. Arizona's usually better than us. And I knew in my heart of hearts that Noah Williams is going to stick it up last night. I love the kid, but, you know, he just, you know, coming off a 40-point game, triple overtime win over Stanford, I just suspected that he might not be as good last night, and he wasn't anywhere close to good last night.
Yeah. Well, we love having you back on, man. It has been a long time. I mean, when you were doing the Groz and Gas weekly appearance, that was ages ago. It's before you started doing – you know, radio across the street, and you're working for the Seattle PI. God, I miss the PI. I know you probably miss the PI. I used to love your columns. Again, when I was just learning how to read, it was just a great way to kind of, you know, get in, you know, how to read and sports and all that kind of stuff. So I love having you on. You know how I feel about you. So, but you wrote about – now, what I wanted to get you on for is this column you just wrote, and people don't know this. You've been writing – a column for the Kitsap Sun for a while now. I mean, this is not just a new thing. And you wrote this column about rebuilding the Seahawks defense should start with Richard Sherman. Now, we played that audio coming into it. What surprises probably everyone, Jim, when they read it is, why are you the guy? I mean, he threatened to take your credential from you and then denied it. That was my favorite part. but look at you coming full circle, welcoming him back with open arms. How about that?
Yeah, that whole thing, you know, I was thinking about that. The day that happened, I remember just going to Panera Bread and having lunch, and I saw Matt Calkins from the Times tweeted something about, like, Richard Sherman just threatened Jim Moore's career. He's going to ruin it. And like, oh, well, okay. It didn't seem like that big of a deal to me, but I just thought, I mean, because back in the day, you know, before social media and before everybody had video on their phones and stuff. I mean, I don't think anybody would have thought too much of it because reporters always get into it with athletes from time to time, and you don't want to. But I just thought, Richard, that day, I just thought that he should be called on his BS, and it didn't go that well for either one of us. But yeah, now I'm at a point where I'm going, Would you rather have Richard Sherman or whatever you have to pay him to be your left cornerback for a year and have him come in and maybe help out DJ Reed and help out the other cornerbacks and be kind of a mentor? And maybe he still looks like he's got something left in the tank. I know he was injured with the 49ers for a majority of the year last year, but why not bring him in? And I don't want to see him pay Shaquille Griffin, do you?
No. I don't.
No, that's going to be too expensive.
He's a great kid, and he's a good cornerback, but he's not an elite shutdown guy. Now, I said in the column, I'm not a guy who, you know, studies the tape and all that. I just watch the games. And when I watch the games, I look at him and I'm going, well, you're okay. You're actually better than okay. But he went 30-some games without an interception. I know he had two or three this year, but I still would like to see him move on. And I thought, yeah, why not bring Sherman back? I mean, I think it'd be fun.
I think if we didn't have all this mess going on with the quarterback right now, the situation at corner – would be probably one of the biggest stories of this offseason.
But that's why. But you know what? I thought you were going to go. I'm sorry. What?
No.
Like, if you didn't have this mess with Wilson, bring him back. I mean, the drama.
Oh.
Because they don't like each other, and it's clear.
Right.
I mean, he makes it clear that they don't like each other. Well, Sherman doesn't like him, or at least he. I don't know why he plays both sides, because he'll congratulate him, talk to him after a game, exchange jerseys, but then goes on Twitter and then does, you know, like what he did yesterday on Twitter. You know, so he's very hypocritical.
I was trying that weird. I can see where you might have some personal issues with Russell, with, you know, being the front office guy and not really so much of a great teammate, maybe in the locker room or something along those lines. But I always go back to thinking to myself, if you're Richard Sherman, and Doug Baldwin seemed to have issues with him too, and yeah. I was just thinking, hey, Doug, how good would you have been without Russell Wilson throwing you the ball? I mean, if you had, you know, Geno Smith throwing it to you all the time, I bet you'd like Russell Wilson a hell of a lot more than you do right now. So
I loved it yesterday, Jim. Jermaine Curse, he put out a gift taking shots. I'm like, really? You, Curse?
Yeah,
you?
And then you went after him.
Yeah, I did.
Well, I do find it funny that I'm not. They know him better than we know him, right? I mean, they do. And for, we'll get to what everything happened. I mean, because listen, Doug Baldwin did a very sub tweet, you know, a lyric from a Future song.
Oh God, that Future.
That I had to ask him. Was it Future? Or who was it?
Drake.
I'm sorry, a Drake song.
It'd have been messed up if it was Future.
All right, it's a Drake song that's taking a shot at him, and like, I'm wondering, really? Are we 12 years old, Doug Baldwin? Like, you're supposed to be this, like, pillar of the society, raising awareness for your community, you know, benefiting kids, and you're literally a 12-year-old girl going on social media and then doing this. And you're right, Jim. I mean, and then to your point, Slick, you and Curse, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say you wouldn't have been nothing, because that's unfair to them.
Jermaine Curse has a career because of Russell Wilson.
You guys had a great career because of the dude throwing you the ball. So maybe pump the brakes on the little teenage girl stuff on Twitter.
Well, that's what I always come back to. I just sit there and I go, okay, well, even if you have personal differences with the guy and you don't like him and you don't want to have beers with him, and you think the whole, you know, Sierra, whatever he's doing, the Mr. Unlimited, all that stuff. If you don't like him for that, fine. But where would you be without that guy on the field throwing you the ball?
Yeah.
Now Baldwin and Curse would contend they'd still be okay, but they wouldn't have had the careers that they had without Russell Wilson. Come on.
No, I absolutely agree, and I agree with you about Sherm too. I'd love to see him come back home. The way it ended. With Carroll and Sherman and a lot of those veterans, like Michael Bennett and everything, do you think – I mean, Sherm said he wants to play for two more years. Do you think for two seasons that they would be able to put all that kind of aside and give Richard Sherman the homecoming that I'm sure a lot of people would want to see happen?
Well, I think Pete Carroll's the only kind of coach who could do that. I think a lot of coaches would say, you know, I've had my fill of that guy. And I was going to kick out of that with Richard Sherman, you know. He always felt disrespected, or, you know, he seemed to conjure up some reason to have a chip on his shoulder, you know, fifth rounder out of Stanford and all that. Okay, great. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be in the Ring of Honor and all that stuff. But, you know, the Seahawks saw something in him. They gave him the opportunity. And he acted like they treated him like dog meat or something. And they really didn't. I remember, you know, I worked with Dave Wyman across the street, and he always talked about watching Stanford games when he was a cornerback there, and Sherman wasn't good. He wasn't good back then. So it was, sixth round was about what, you know, was right for him at the time. So, but yeah, I mean, going back to what you're asking, I just think that Pete could bring him back, open arms, bygones be bygones, all that stuff. And I just like the idea of him being back and not having Griffin out there. Let Griffin go on, take his money, maybe spend some of it on Sherman, maybe spend some of it on an offensive lineman and see where you go from there.
It would be great. I mean, listen, I'm in this business for entertainment. And, like, others get so sad about, like, what's happening right now. Like, I love all of this, the Mather stuff, this. It's all great because it's just so much fun to talk about all of it. And if a reunion of Sherman and Wilson, I mean, I can't wait if that were to happen.
Well, yeah, and if Wilson's even here.
Yeah.
Condotta wrote about it in the Seattle Times. I'm sure everybody is, but they can't really do anything because of that dead cap money. It'd be 39 or 40 million, but maybe after June 1st they could do something. But it's kind of funny. And now Mark Rogers, he's a piece of work, that guy, Russell Wilson's agent. I mean, the one time that he ever contacted me, he was, you know, it's somehow, and even in this business, you guys know this, like you can say positive stuff 95% of the time, but the 5% that you're negative about something, then somebody will give you a hard time about it. And I think I wrote a column about the Good Man brand and how nobody could afford those clothes that Russell's trying to sell. And so he got back to me and was upset about that. Never mind the 95% of the time that you're writing about how great his client is. But anyway, I don't know what to say about Russell. I think they come out and they say, okay, it looks like he wants to be traded. They come up with four potential teams that he would go to if they did trade him, but he doesn't really want to be traded. So there's clearly a rift there between Carroll and Russell and hopefully, you know, the new guy, Shane Waldron. I mean, what do you think he's thinking right now?
In over his head.
Well, yeah, Shane Waldron is like, can I go back to the Rams? That's what he's saying.
Yeah, because he's trying to kind of be a go-between between Keith and Russell and trying to smooth things over and make it a happy medium for both of them so Pete can do his running the ball thing and Russ can do his cooking thing and hopefully it won't turn out like the last eight games did last year.
Hey, you know what? And Jim Moore is with us back home here on KJR, at least, you know, for today. And it's I almost said it's brought to you by someone. I almost made up a sponsor.
Why not?
It's brought to you by Tequila and Golf. Hey, Justin Thomas, just two straight birdies. God, it's a good day for JT.
There we go, JT.
What's lost in the column about the Kitsap son about bringing Sherman back is, I mean, you want to overhaul everything. You want to trade Wilson. You want to release Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, I saw that.
All right, so do you?
I do want to release Bobby Wagner.
Why?
Everybody's like going, oh, you're crazy, you know that. What's this say? I mean, on the text, and you guys probably get it too. I mean, it's like every single day, hey, Jim, you're a moron, you're an idiot, you suck. And
yeah, that's what they're saying right now too. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, you still suck. 3 months later, you suck. No, Bobby doesn't have it anymore. I mean, he doesn't have it like he used to. He doesn't have it at an $18 million a year level. That's all. And I just wonder if he's going to have enough pride to restructure when they come to him and ask him to restructure. And, you know, the thing is, because of the dead cap money, they're not going to be able to release it. It doesn't make sense. But, I mean, they drafted Jordan Brooks with replacing Wagner down the road, and I think we're getting pretty close to when that time's coming.
You know, I mean, here's the thing that, you know, everyone keeps telling, like, I don't ever operate, Jim, and Slick and I talked about this yesterday, never operate in absolutes because I just don't – why would you operate in absolutes?
Because only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Right, because if you do that, then you're saying something can never happen. And saying that is just, one, factually it's untrue. And then why would you ever look at anything like that? So when I hear people say they can't trade him, well, factually that's untrue. That's just based on facts. That's when someone says that they can't trade him, that's just not true. Yes, they can trade him. Of course they can. Carson Wentz got traded, and his cap hit was $34 million. They traded him. Mm-hmm. They got rid of him. Now you're going to say, well, they have a quarterback in the waiting. People in Philly don't even believe Hurts is the guy. They may have him for this year, but there is talk in Philly about drafting a guy. So it's not like, well, just because they have Hurts here. Clearly, if they trade Russell Wilson, because I've heard people, well, how they be competitive. Well, they're not going to be competitive. If you trade the guy this year, you're going to tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You're right. Not spending any money next year because you don't have any money to spend. But then that would, if you did trade him, yeah, I think you release Bobby Wagner. I mean, you do everything. You get rid of all of it. Wagner, Wright doesn't come back. Carson doesn't come back. Brown doesn't come back. I mean, you would tear it down to the studs. And people would say, well, that is crazy. Why would you do that? It is so much easier in football, in the NFL, to rebuild quickly. In about a year from now, maybe in 2 years, you could have potential to be right back where you were. If this isn't baseball where it takes years to rebuild. I mean, look at it. That's parody of the NFL.
He's got to find the quarterback, which, I mean, that's the hardest part.
Sure, you would have to.
But,
so
yeah.
I laugh when I hear people just say you can't do it. Yeah, of course you can.
Well, yeah, you could, and then you know the one I really like is trading him to Jacksonville and getting the number one pick. But then people say, well, Jacksonville wouldn't want to do that.
I don't think they would do it because I think Lawrence's ceiling is higher.
Yeah, I agree with you, but when I was looking at if you're talking three first round picks like Michael Silver was writing about. I mean, I don't know what the asking price is for John Schneider. And I just like the idea of course, getting Trevor Lawrence, but also, getting a quarterback that you got cost control of for the next 4 years, and then you can build around him. So, and it just seems to me, like maybe Shane Waldron will smooth things over, but I just don't know if that rift between Russell and Pete is ever going to be resolved. If they go 16-0 or let's say 13-3, then maybe so. But I mean, look at the difficulties they're having right now after a 12-4 season.
Right, right, absolutely. Look at the text rolling in. There's not one negative text on here, not one. Welcome back, Jim. Damn, I miss Jim Moore. Make him a regular. Get him to KJR. This is all by the same guy.
Yeah, they're all from your phone number.
Jim Moore is back. That's awesome. Bring Moore back for a weekly chat. There you go. Listen, look at this. Come on. People love you. They remember. Like me when I was eating my cereal and reading your column when I was in high school.
Well, all I've ever done, and you guys probably do the same thing, I just tried to be myself every time I showed up, but I never knew what – do you guys ever know what you're going to say? I mean, 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, the show would start, and I'd be going, okay, what am I going to say about Russell Wilson today? And, it wasn't like I pre-planned anything, so I never felt like I was a radio host anyway. Puff, you read me when you were in high school. I've always felt like I was a sports writer who was on the radio, and I was just going to tell people whatever I felt.
You do it the right way, all right? You do it the right way. There's too many people that do the manufactured sports talk platform that is out there, reading questions and debating this. And just you flip on the microphone and you – if people – this is why we started our union, Jim. We have a union. It's called Union Number 4020, where we keep sports simple and fun. We don't like analytics, all right? We like RBIs. We like defensive ends getting sacks and corners getting interceptions. You want to know why? Because that's what people at the bar talk about. They don't talk about someone's WAR or what their DVOA is. That's not fun.
Well, yeah, I honestly, talk. I mean, more and more, and I'm still listening to sports radio. I'm listening to you guys. I'm listening to Bob and Dave over there at 710, my former teammates. And I love those guys. But, yeah, it sure seems like we're talking a lot of cover two and gap integrity and different stuff. And I mean, if you want to talk point spreads, I'm your guy. But if you want to talk about defensive schemes and stuff, I sit there and I go, I really, I'll sit there and I'll picture myself. Let's see, what would I say after Dave's done talking? And I'm going, I don't know. If the Seahawks are favorite by 4.5, I can talk about that all day. The pros and cons and laying the points are taken.
But that's what people want to hear. And that's the thing. At the end of the day, it's what people want to hear. Hey, you're the best. We will do it again. I promise you that. All right. Thank you so much for doing it today, Jim.
Thanks for having me. Go Cubs, Buck.